Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and it's my joy, privilege, and honour to be able to speak to you again about some of the precious things that are in the Word of God. Now, the overall thing that we've been looking at for the last several weeks has been the gift of God, which is eternal life, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. And he, being altogether lovely, has given to us this rich salvation for which we are blessed abundantly. I want to continue this, having seen what the gift of God is, how it was that Jesus worked out this gospel in some of his parables. We come across this beautiful parable that everybody knows, but not everybody studies it and looks hard at it. And I'd like to spend a little time looking hard. The scripture reading is Luke and chapter 10, verse 25 actually, but because of the time factor, we're just going to look from verse 30 down as far as 37. Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii. Now, 2 denarii represents a whole day's wages. So the next day he took a whole day's wages and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? The lawyer that was talking to him said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. I have to be asking you what you would have done, what I would have done. What would we do in such a situation? It was one filthy night full of rain that was tumbling down as fast as it could tumble, in a little town called Chesham in Buckinghamshire, England. And it was late. It was 10:30-ish, somewhere between 10:30 and 11. And I saw in the gutter of the road a bundle. As I walked along and I saw this bundle, it didn't move. It just was a bundle. I was curious, and I went across to the bundle, opened the cloth that was round the bundle, and inside was a young boy, and I was horrified. This boy was laying in a piece of blanket. It was pelting with rain, and the gutter in which he was laying, the water was going at a terrific rate down the gutter to the drainage. And I picked him up and said, why are you here? My mother doesn't love me, my dad doesn't want me, my brothers have fought over me, and my sisters have pushed me out of the house. It was 1950-something or other, and I couldn't believe that this young man was rejected by his own family. So I said, well, you better come and get warm. And I took him, oh, it was only a quarter of a mile or so away, to our house. Such as it was a parsonage, it was very small. But we took him in and we dried him off and put some clothes on him that didn't fit, of course. But we made sure he was dry. and the fire was stoked, and we plied him with hot cocoa and whatever else. My wife fed him, and that was the first meal he'd had that day, he said. Over a period of years, this young man kept in touch with us and became quite a close friend. He was a dear young man, but I actually saw a bundle in the road, and I actually went to inquire as to what it was. I thought perhaps it was a dog that had died, and I was curious. But it was an awful night, and the rain was pelting down. Well, here is the similar story. Now, this story starts way back in verse 25. This lawyer stood up. He said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "You know all about receiving eternal life." And it was as if the man said, "Really?" And Jesus said to him, "What's written in the law? You're a lawyer, you should know. How does it read to you?" And the man answered. Now, this answer is a generic answer that people give today. It's very similar. His answer was, quite simply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, verse 28, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Now, this business of justifying ourselves crawls into the brain box of just about everybody sooner or later to a greater or lesser degree. And we feel that we have to justify our existence, our expenditures, where we live, what we drive, and all that sort of thing. I have a friend here in Oregon. He bought a new car, and instead of enjoying the new car, he would go to church in his old car, and he kept his new car in the garage. And I said to him, "Why did you do that?" "Because I have to get used to the new car before I can show it off." He was embarrassed that he could afford a new car. Now, only to show the difference between thinking, I'm saying to you this: I would have driven the new car to church. And here's the reason: God has blessed me. And I want people to know that God has blessed me. I want people to know that the God that blesses those that trust him, find that he is wholly true, and absolutely one can be confident in him to give us our heart's desire and to cause his name to be glorified. I would have driven his new car, as I have driven many a car, not new, but new to me. And I believe that God blesses us as we say, "The Lord provided this car for me." This is only an illustration. Please don't carry it too far. But we need to understand that God is so generous that when we turn our affections over to him, he takes our affections as a love offering, as it were, and then he turns that love offering into something greater than we can ever imagine. It's interesting. Years ago, I helped a family. And this Christmas, they had an offering for me. I certainly didn't expect such a thing. But some 35 years or more has gone by since I first met them. The father has gone to be with the Lord. The mother is still alive, and the children are still alive, and their children are still alive, and there's all this massive family, and I'm sure I'm a mystical creature to the younger ones, and they wonder why they should give anything, but they had an offering, and they blessed me with the offering. Wasn't that kind? Wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that the fulfillment of Scripture? If we cast our bread upon the waters, it returns unto us after many days. God presses it down, and we get more than we ever gave. What an enormous God we have. What a loving God we have. Those people had no idea of our circumstance, but that money came at just the right time to dig us out of a little bit of a problem, yet not a problem because it was before the Lord and it was His way of showing us, I have heard your prayer and here's the money. Now you've got the money, use it in the way that we agreed. A little rabbit trail here. For those of you who are Christians and have asked God for some money and He's given you the money and then you spend it on something else, be very careful what you do. If you say, Lord, I need a new, we'll stay with the car business, I need a new car and would you provide the necessary funds for such a thing? Make sure that when the money comes, that's what it gets spent on. Some dear ones to me thought it was right to pay for a dentist bill. When the money came for the car, they took the money and they paid the dentist his bill and didn't understand that their prayer had been for a car and the money came for that car. It wouldn't have been a Rolls Royce and it certainly wouldn't have been a Cadillac. But they had enough to buy another car that was more reliable than the thing that they had. But instead, they paid for some dentist work for their children's sake. Now, it sounded very plausible. And it sounded as if God had perhaps given them the money to look after the children. But in fact, the prayer was, can we have another car? And if so, we need X, Y, Z number of dollars. The gift came into that amount and they went off and spent it on dentistry. I'm sure the dentist was pleased to receive the money. And I'm quite sure that they felt good about getting that debt out of the way. However, God gave them the money for the car. And now it's 4 or 5 years later, and they're still pleading with people to give them enough money to buy a car. But when they get the money to buy a car, they tend to go out and spend it on other plausible and fine things that needs to be spent on, but they don't stay with the program. Their prayer has been for several years, Lord, we need another car, a different car. One that's more reliable, one that we can get in and go to our destination without worrying about it stopping halfway and all that sort of thing. Be careful. When you ask for something from the Father, He will give it to you with massive blessing. He gives it to us sometimes tenfold. We ask for a dollar and He gives us ten. We need to understand that He knew the cost of the car that we would buy, and so He gave us 10 times what we asked for. Go and buy the car. Then, so that each piece of your life with regard to money is siphoned off into its own department and used correctly. But I don't want to spend any more time than that on this particular subject. Notice something else that we read here. In verse 28, Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now that's a wonderful statement. But, and this big little word, it's a little word but it has massive meaning. But, this is verse 29, wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is it? Jesus, I think, was a little exasperated. He looked at the man very solidly and told him a story. Now, here we have the good news. We have the gospel being told of how to live. And Jesus said, quite simply, there was a man that was on a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. I've been on this road many times. The man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell amongst robbers. It is incredible to me that though we are free to a point in this country, the robbers take our time. They will steal from us. People don't realize that sometimes a telephone call is not a convenient thing to make. And when it's received by the person whose number you have dialed, answers the phone, it may not always be convenient, but because they are kind, nice people, they put up with whatever it is that you have to say for a while. I'm learning now to say, "You must excuse me, please. I am very busy at this moment. I was talking with the Lord when you phoned and I answered the telephone, but I'll get back to you shortly." And then I go back to my prayers or whatever it is that I'm doing with the Lord. And then when I finish that, I am truthful and faithful to phone them back. You might try this in your own experience, but because people want to justify themselves, this is to make oneself important beyond our importance. We try to say we're very important people. So this man comes up with a question. "Well, all right, I've kept all the law that you said I was supposed to keep, but who is my neighbor?" And Jesus told this story. We call it the story of the Good Samaritan, and thereby we miss some of the teaching. Notice the priest. He saw this bundle in the gutter of the road, on the side of the road, and he went over to inquire, to see, to satisfy his curiosity, and to see who this was or what this was. And when he got there, he realized that this was a person that was in a position of nearly being dead. The word of God says he was half dead, and the priest did not want to get involved. So he walked to the other side of the road and continued his journey. Now there's religion for you. It doesn't help people. It sometimes does some nice things with our inner thinking, but that's all it does. Religion is religion. But the personal faith of Jesus Christ living in a person's heart is something quite different. And we see things differently. He didn't see things very differently at all. He just simply wasn't going to get involved in the plight and in the predicament of this man. He could have fallen down. The least he could have done was get on his knees and pray for the man's safety and health, or prayed for the equivalent of an ambulance to come rattling by. He could have done that. Instead, he preserved himself, he looked after himself, and he went across the road and went on his journey. Then a Levi came. Now a Levi was a specific and special person, chose to serve God. And here is another thing that is so disheartening to me, that today we have people who have served their Lord very wonderfully, and they have given their lives, and they have been generous with the giving of their life, the missionary, the worker amongst the people in these dreadful camps in the Middle East, where children abound in the thousands, and the church is silent. We're frightened to have our heads chopped off. We're frightened to be arrested. We're frightened to be tortured, and yet a few young people make us older fellows look silly. They go in, but the Levites, people with a Levitical heart, don't. That is somebody who trusts all the things that they have learned, have got a good religious background, not just practicing religious things as the priest does, but involved in religious things that they have learned from their parents' knees, and they have done all the right things. This fellow walked along, and like the priest, he went over and looked at this bundle, I suppose he felt sorry for him, but it doesn't appear that way. And he crossed over to the other side just like the priest, and on he went. Now, we say that education will bring people out of the squalor and filth and the barrenness of poverty. But that's not so. If so, we would all be Levitical in our thinking, and we would teach that our Levitical type thinking would lift us up, and the brilliance of our minds would come to conclusions that would cause other people to say, what a brilliant person, and to think that he looked after this man laying on the side of the road. But he didn't, and it doesn't. We become a sort of spiritual snob. We are intellectually clever, and therefore we don't dirty our hands with somebody laying in the gutter of the road. We walk to the other side of the road and continue on our journey. Well, then said Jesus, a man came along in his journey, and he was a Samaritan. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans because the Samaritans are a half-breed, part Jew, part something else. The Samaritans have their own towns and cities, and they have their own way of living. I know that many people who love the Lord Jesus Christ are looked at as Samaritans, sort of a outcast and yet rather a nice person to have around. He saw this same bundle. He went over to see what in the world it was. It's quite possible that the Levi saw the priest go and look, and he went to look. It's quite possible that the Samaritan saw the priest and the Leviticus man, the Levite, going and having a look and carrying on. But his curiosity was a little different. It was in a different form. And Jesus said the man was so beaten up, he had fell among robbers. They stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. By chance, the priest was going down the road and saw him and passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But, there's that word, a Samaritan, a half-breed, a person that the Jewish people would have nothing to do with at that time, was on a journey, and he came upon the same bundle, and when he saw him, these are three remarkable words, he had compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he realized that he wasn't going to be able to heal him while he was there because he was busy. But he got on with his journey, having paid for the nursing of this man for as long as it took. And if it cost any more than the 2 denarii that he gave, why, he said, when next time I'm through here, so he was well known, the next time I'm through here, I will pay you. Who, said Jesus, was the one that could be called his neighbor? And the lawyer said, well, the one that showed mercy on him. Certainly not the priest or the Levite. And Jesus said, yes, that's right. Now you, lawyer, go and do the same. We're never told whether he did or whether he could put his lawyerism to a side and get on with being a man full of compassion. The Lord Jesus is saying the good news, the gospel, is revealed in what we do with our lives with the people that need us to do it. Are you prepared to do this? Are you prepared to give of your time, give of yourself, give of your resources? Are you prepared to do what God would have you to do? Many people over the years have helped me. They have been my Samaritan helpers. And yet, sometimes I've not always remembered to say thank you. But Jesus said to the young man, the lawyer, you go and do the same. and look after those that are dinged up, those that are rejected and thrown away as rubbish and garbage. Help them. Help them. A very quick closing note. When this country was first formed, the English and the Dutch and the people from that part of Europe came in their droves, and a lot of parents died so that when the various ships landed on the east coast of this country, they often had several children on board whose parents had died of some disease or just plain illness. And the children were without parents. Orphanage after orphanage opened up. Charles and John Wesley, they opened up orphanages. George Whitefield opened up orphanages, great big buildings in Pennsylvania mostly. They gave them a place to live and gave them a place to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you prepared to give? It'll cost you. It'll be inconvenient, but are you prepared? So the Good Samaritan has a lot to teach us. We may be brilliant people, religious people, kind people, nice people, but we are nothing unless we get down amongst the blood and the wounds of the person that is so badly hurt that they can't fend for themselves. You prepared to meet with them and help them? Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you and pray that you will bless this word to our hearts and open our hearts and help us to understand that Jesus preached the gospel through the stories that he told and the things that he did. Thank you so much for blessing us now. Keep our families intact under the shadow of your wings, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.